Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
As often, I began at 6 o'clock, as we started at 6 o'clock in the morning, talking about the search for a gunman who snuck up behind a teenager and took his life, killed him, as he sat at a Southwest Philadelphia playground. So we know that here in Philadelphia, they have installed these cameras on most playgrounds and in and around rec centers because of the violence that unfortunately happened there. So the surveillance video, according to police, captured the gunman as he was sneaking up behind this teenage boy who was just sitting right near a play area at the playground. It's located on the 5600 block of Grace Ferry Avenue. And this happened before 9 o'clock last night. This is Philadelphia police speaking out about this, saying the gunman pulls out the firearm, fires at least 9 shots at close range, shooting this teenager in the face, in his head, his back, his, his core, his torso, if you will, and then takes off, runs off on foot. And so police called there, obviously, 911 calls, find this teenage victim unresponsive, do rush him to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. And so within less than half an hour, he was pronounced. Went to a playground. Next thing, he's being pronounced dead. Parents are getting a call, etc. So police not yet releasing much more information on the victim other than they're saying a teenage boy. So we don't have that information. But they've not released a detailed description of that gunman either. They're saying that he was wearing dark clothing, light color, a hooded sweatshirt. I mean, pretty generic description here. They're asking for anyone to come forward if you know anything. Just looking at the stats, we've had in Philadelphia about 36 homicides in the city. And if you look at the numbers, I mean, those, and I hate to say statistics when we're talking about people's lives, but the homicide rate in Philadelphia so far on this March 4th day, the homicide rate is down about 29%.
Sounds like a targeted execution, does it not?
Yeah.
You just don't walk up to somebody randomly in the park and shoot them 9 times at point blank range.
But
well, you said 9 o'clock at night?
Yeah. It was before nine.
Why is a teenage boy, well, it is Philadelphia, so God only knows, but why would a teenage boy in early March when it's dark by, what is it, dark now, around 6 o'clock? Mm-hmm. It's getting a little bit lighter each night, and it's probably in the 30s temperature-wise, maybe even in the 20s. Why would a random boy just be sitting there at 9 o'clock at night in the park?
Yeah, and
Sounds odd.
I don't know if there were courts, if they were going to play, there obviously were other people there.
Mm.
And some of these rec centers, they do have indoor as well.
Ah, that's true.
So okay. Maybe he was going over,
Yeah. Could have been playing inside. Yeah. He's just sitting outside afterwards. Yeah.
So we'll follow it. It's just a tragic story in Philadelphia. And I say gunmen, but to be honest, we've found that the so-called gunmen are getting younger and younger as well. Might not be a grown man.
Yeah, sounds like a dad issue, probably lack of a father.
God. Well, we'll follow that one. Police in Philadelphia, they have been releasing some surveillance images of a suspect, a man who tried to rob a deli in Center City and gave a note to the person behind the counter that said he had a gun and he was a mental patient. So give me all your money. I have a gun and I'm a mental patient. So he didn't say I'm crazy, but just there will be no problem. I'm a mental patient.
Well,
that was what the note said.
Accepting your deficiencies in life is the first step in correcting them.
So this is this happened in broad daylight. I mean, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Kennedy Deli on JFK Boulevard, and so they have some pretty good images of this guy. In a leather jacket, kind of a hoodie, blue hoodie underneath it. But you can, if you knew who this is, if you look at those images that are all over the internet, you would recognize the guy. So they said the worker actually refused to hand over any money. And then the guy continues, and he was very persistent. But this time, he just demanded some cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
The employee says, nope, you're not getting your cigarettes. So the man never produced a firearm. And left. That was it. It's like, I don't care if you say you have a gun. I don't care if you say that you're a mental patient. You're not getting money. and you're not going to get cigarettes either.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, pack of smokes these days, 10, 11 bucks, they're not cheap. It's very pricey to kill yourself.
Man, I would love to know if this deli, if this is somebody, I would love to know and see interviews with the actual deli. Is this an owner? Is this somebody who just has a lot of chutzpah? I don't know, but perhaps we can hear from this individual. You know, we've been talking a lot about chicken pox, measles, the measles outbreak that we, not outbreak, one patient we told you about in Montgomery County, an unvaccinated child who had traveled internationally, came back, and we were warning you about that yesterday. Well, now there's a new warning. This time, chicken pox is in the headlines. There is an outbreak, and it's hitting Penn State's main campus. So three cases reported on the University Park campus, and the school has released this information. Since obviously it's highly contagious, and so they said that those individuals need 1 to 2 days before the rash appears, and then symptoms can take between 10 and 21 days even after exposure. So at Penn State main campus, they're urging anybody be mindful of potential exposure, and you know, they're heading into spring break. That's the other issue. This week.
Yeah, which means they bring that home, which means other adults get this sick and whatever. Did everybody on this show have chicken pox at least once as a kid?
I did, yeah.
I had a really mild case.
Mild case?
My brother had it bad.
Yeah, I had it really bad.
You did?
Ugh.
Do you have scars from
it? No, thankfully I did not, but I was like 10 and I was like a total baby.
Well, let me ask you a question. There's a vaccine for that now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, assuming this person didn't get vaccinated for the chicken pox because they got it, right?
I don't know, but I don't know if it's 100%. Is it 100% effective?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
It is.
Yeah.
It's. I think this is, you know, this is, but think about it, these are college, to Greg's point, these are college students. So their parents decided, presumably, you know, 15 to 18 years ago. And so this was during that horrible situation that it happened in the UK with an attorney, a doctor who was, you know, he was completely, declared a fraud. But mm-hmm. he was the one who did that study where he was part of a study where it was, you know, allegedly for monetary gain. I shouldn't say allegedly because it was all proved. But this guy's now in the States. But he was the one who altered a study and claimed that childhood vaccinations cause autism and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what we're seeing. I, you know, because that was, what, 18, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
That, right? It was around then that happened.
Now, I might have read this, and it might be for something else. So I could be mixing two different infections together. If you're unvaccinated for chickenpox, is it true you can only get it once or twice?
You can only get it once.
Once, okay.
And then I believe you never get it again. However, it lays dormant in your body forever, and it can develop into shingles.
Or other things.
Yeah.
It's funny, I just saw a shingles commercial on television last night.
But it's once you have it, it's like the measles. You know, we talked about that yesterday, about how when you get the measles, you know, at least my parents' generation got, there was no vaccine for it, so they all got it, and then they can never get it again.
Got
so they don't really need a vaccine or anything for it. But our generation didn't, so that's why we got the MMR vaccine.
Yep.
So there it is. So they're headed into spring break. They're trying to put the word out and especially saying, hey, if you're going to Greg's point, Nick's point, if you're going to visit grandma and grandpa, and maybe, you know what I mean? You have to be thoughtful of visiting anybody in the hospital.
It's funny now.
Going to see somebody who had a newborn baby.
It's funny now when you have relations with a college student, like if you're a college student having relations with another college student, not only do you need an STD check, but you need a vaccine check, too, just in case.
Hey, before we
get vaccinated, you don't want to get measles or chicken pox or any other horrific thing.
Yeah. Imagine that. You're in a dorm room. It's a Saturday night. You and your lady, and you're like, hey, before we jump on the bad foot and do the good thing, show me your vax card, baby. Whip that thing out for me. You got multiple ones?
Well, like, you get multiple blisters. You get about 500 blisters. It's nasty.
Yeah, it is.
I was looking at the pictures.
Yeah.
The CDC says that some people who get chicken pox, like those who, let's say you have an immune system that is weakened, may have more severe symptoms and may be at higher risk for some complications.
Mm.
So That's part of the concern here this morning. I know we'll get to all things Trump, all things about the tariffs that took effect, what, 6 hours and 13 minutes ago?
25%.
And the stock market's tanking yesterday.
Yeah, and futures are down this morning. Yeah,
what, if you drop 500-600 points?
So we'll see. it's a buyer's market.
Buy low, sell high, right,
there
Dawn?
There you go, baby.
I'm gonna swoop in and get me some Netflix stuff.
There was a ticker yesterday on Fox News when he was speaking at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he started talking about tariffs. You could see the Dow just drop.
Somebody clipped that on social media last night. It was playing it on a loop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as well, Trump has paused. This is just a headline for you: pausing all U.S. military aid to Ukraine.
Shocking.
After that little tete-a-tete that did not go too well in the Oval.
The plan all along,
clash
by the way.
With Zelensky.
The plan all along, by the way.
Now you think it's the plan, huh?
I do. There's a plan all along.
All right.
Plan.
We'll talk about it 6:30.
Well, I mean, the new polling seems to show that, Trump is quite popular still.
Oh, we believe polls now. Okay.
You usually mention them, so I'll mention them. It's just a headline, but obviously this evening Trump will, he'll address the nation and address Congress.
By the way, you can hear
what
that.
What say?
What time is that? By the way,
9 o'clock. You can hear that all right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Is that an official State of the Union?
No.
It is not a state.
Is not a state of the, because usually when the state, it would be after you have some, administration under your belt, if you will.
Yeah.
So he's addressing, it's a joint address to Congress officially. So this is at the beginning of the administration, but it's basically going to look like a State of the Union address, to your point.
And longtime Kamala Harris mentee has been tapped to be the counter to Trump's congressional address. Her name is Democrat Rep. Latifah Simon, longtime friend and left-wing political party appointee.
Never heard of her.
So we're going to have a left-wing, deranged California lunatic. So again, the Dems still haven't learned.
By the way, the Democrats doing their, some of them are bringing fired federal workers with them to the
You're going to put on a production tonight. Yeah. Could be the big take tomorrow, folks. You never know.
I mean, it should be the big take tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, we'll Thank see. You.
There better be some fireworks tonight. I'm going to watch that charade.
Sixers,
oh, yeah.
Portland Trailblazers.
Tyrese Maxey hurt.
Yeah, 76ers, 119-102 last night. And, yeah, that's the headline that Greg said.
Our last good player goes down with an injury.
Good night, everybody.
I believe the term was back contusion. We won't know anything. It looks, doesn't look super serious now, but they said we'll determine it in the morning.
Yeah.
Which I assume for them will be about 10 a.m.
Yeah. My guy Maxie's like, the weather's starting to get good. We're out of it. I'm going to milk this thing.
Yeah.
Well, he was already dealing with a finger issue. Now he had this fall and a back injury. But yeah, to your point, what did you say that the more they're injured and now at this point, the more they lose, the more balls they get?
Yeah, they get more balls for the lottery.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a weighted thing based on how many losses you have. So you get a better shot at the first overall pick. So you get more balls.
Big balls.
It's a lottery.
Yeah,
it's a
lottery. Right. They put it in the cage. And
the ping pong balls.
Yes. Yeah. These are smooth balls. They're like little plastic ones, like at a bingo hall.
Right before Jeopardy, they used to do I don't think they do that anymore. I think I'm dating myself, but they used to do the daily numbers.
Yeah. Remember that on Channel 6?
Yeah, of course.
My old man tuning in, thinking his dream's coming true.
And there was that machine that used to pop the balls up, right?
Yes.
There was, 36.
What was the? It was
42.
It was the daily number. Was it the big three? Did we steal that from the Pennsylvania lottery that benefits older Pennsylvanians every day?
I don't remember. I just remember coming on right before Jeopardy.
Yeah.
We definitely have to check. And say it's not true, but the word is Eagles are going to release 6-time Pro Bowl corner Darius Slay.
Yeah.
It's all about the money and creating cap space.
Take your annoying wife with you. Get out.
Ah, nice.
That's fine. We've got Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. They drafted those guys so they didn't have to pay Slay anymore.
By the way, I feel like I was ahead of this curve because when we were talking about what players are going to go to.
You did say that, Slay and Sweat.
I was like, I don't think he's a member of the team anymore, is he?
Wow,
and You guys were like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't do sports anymore, but apparently you're equipped to do it. Yeah. Look at you.
So he'll be a post-June 1st cut.
Yeah.
And that, what does that do? Because there are all these deadlines, so it saves. I had to look this up. You guys know this.
Yeah,
stuff.
They save over $4 million on the.
$4.3 million.
Yeah. Yeah,
$4.3 million. Yeah. Yep.
They save.
Yeah.
They do it by June 1st.
Coming soon to a sports station near you, Spike and Stalker.
I'll just be bringing them their coffee.
I would love that.
Because I don't know this stuff. So,
you can't have two heels. You can't have two heels on one show.
No, you need a baby face.
You need a baby face.
You take Dawn with you. Dawn will give you the positive Eagles coverage and tell you everything's fine and it'll be good.
Tell you about yoga and coffee.
Come
with me.
Yeah.
So we are sponsored this morning as it's 35 degrees, 57 degrees and sunny today. So go out, get out and enjoy it. Put on your yoga pants. Get some exercise. Go for a walk. Tomorrow, 61 degrees, but we do have some stormy, rainy weather in store. And then that'll even us out for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll be in the low 50s with a lot of sunshine. So a warm stretch ahead and above average temperatures for this time of year for March. And that makes you think about that boat. Have you thought about the boat sale? Well, the boat sale of the year is back at the Boat Show, Philadelphia Boat Show, March 14th through the 16th at the Expo Center in Oaks. Top tri-state dealers ready to deliver saltwater fishing boats on the pontoon party boats. I love pontoons.
So do I.
Right?
Tennessee, baby. It's all we did.
Man.
Yep, on the lake.
So much fun. Ski boats, bass boats, PWCs, and more. See PhillyBoatShow.com for all the deets, for all the tickets. If you buy a boat, invite Kale & Company. We'll bring the Kale & Company flag. We'll have a blast.
Yes.
So thank you to the Boat Show for sponsoring us here. Kale & Company News Live.
I'll bring the flag and the booze. All right. 855-839-1210. We will come back, get to a Tuesday big take. Forget about Epstein, JFK, MLK, and RFK. What about Trump and July 13th? The big take that you probably haven't heard, and it's next here on Kale & Company.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app. The big take on Kale & Company.
Brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. Forget Epstein. What about Butler? You know, last week it was all about the Jeffrey Epstein files. Attorney General Pam Bondi, and the claim that the FBI misled and allegedly are sabotaging the release of potentially jaw-dropping information. With the Trump administration and the 2024 campaign came promises to reveal JFK, MLK, and the RFK files. But what about the July 13th assassination attempt on the life of Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania? Why has that story gone completely off the grid and appears to be ice cold? Kash Patel has claimed that he will get to the bottom of it. The new head of the FBI is a Trump loyalist. We know that. He has his hands full, for sure. And he has a ton of work to do with the FBI and the corruption and rot within the agency. But the story is gaining attention again as multiple outlets and platforms are talking about the lack of answers as we approach 8 months since that summer day. The New York Post has done a deep dive and has been reporting on the findings and the claims of a private investigator who believes Thomas Matthew Crooks did not act alone. I briefly mentioned that story and the quotes of the findings last week in a big take. More on that, including some amazing audio and video coming up in a moment. Plus, this past weekend, and we mentioned this yesterday on the show, Joe Rogan and Elon Musk had a conversation on the Joe Rogan podcast, and they discussed theories that include the peculiar cameo made by CNN at Trump's rally, something that they reportedly had stopped doing. But first, let's revisit what Kash Patel said in the days after the failed assassination attempt in Pennsylvania. Listen and watch this.
I've done 50 trips with the president around the country, overseas, when he was in office, since he's been out of office. I know the Secret Service guys really well. And it is a mechanical failure of epic proportions. And here's the thing. I have an op-ed coming out later on it. You know, We cannot rely, in my opinion, on this FBI and this DOJ who set up Donald Trump,
yes,
who tried to weaponize justice against him to kneecap him politically and take him out of the race. We cannot say, oh, let them do their investigation.
I agree.
We cannot have Congress, where we have a Republican majority in the House, say, let the FBI and DOJ investigate. No, they lost that mandate. And also, Congress is a co-equal coordinate branch of government. So I outlined an entire investigative process. I don't want to get ahead of the facts. I don't want to say it was this person's fault or that group's fault or lack of funding or lack of resources. I want to find out the answers, and they should be giving the American people those answers on a daily basis in the well of Congress, saying we found this, and not let the deep state FBI, DOJ hide behind, it's classified, we can't tell you. We the people run Congress, and we the people run the executive branch.
At this very moment, Kash Patel has not lived up to his promises, but I know it is very early. Heck, he's been in office for under 2 weeks, if you think about it. He wasn't even confirmed until February 20th. Throw in the Pam Bondi, Epstein stuff, and his head is probably spinning. He's got a ton to handle. But others are beating him to the punch. And if you've listened to Kale and Company since Monday, July 15th, 2 days after that awful attack, that Monday morning when we talked about crooks failing to kill Trump and being killed himself, I've had my sniffer up for quite some time. By the time 2 weeks had passed, I said on this station, on this show, that I believed that this was an inside job because it doesn't pass the smell test. And given the history of what they've done to Trump, this was the culmination, the last-ditch effort to get him out of the political spectrum. This weekend, Joe Rogan had Elon Musk on the pod. Rogan and Elon talked about another oddity, how CNN was broadcasting the Trump rally live, which was a one-off, a rarity in the 2024 cycle, claims Joe Rogan. Listen and watch this.
They knew he was there with a rangefinder a half an hour before the event. You also know that CNN streamed it live, which I do not believe they did for any other rally, and certainly not for a rally that's in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania. Like, there's a lot of weird. The fact that they wouldn't let people be on that roof because the Secret Service lady said it was sloped. And it was dangerous. That's what she'd want to have. Meanwhile, the snipers that were on the other roof was a steeper pitch. It made sense.
Pretty random, right? Could be merely a coincidence, but why little old Butler, PA? Why in July? Small rally for Trump rally standards when you know how big these things can get. People are in checked out mode. It's the middle of the summer. They're on vacation. CNN shooting down Joe Rogan's claim, saying, quote, CNN provided live coverage of President Trump's Butler, PA rally in anticipation of news about his pick for vice president, the network said, quote, any suggestion contrary to that fact is completely false, end quote. Now, CNN has a terrible track record of truth with Donald Trump. But for a network to be tipped off about a killing, I mean, I wouldn't rule anything out, but it seems like an extremely low probability. And that was CNN's statement yesterday in response to Rogan's assertion on the podcast over the weekend. But now we get to some amazing journalism from the New York Post, facilitated by Dana Kennedy, courtesy of private investigator Doug Hageman. The findings and assertions tell us some very disturbing revelations. Here is the preview. I want you to listen and watch this.
Was Thomas Crooks, the would-be assassin of Donald Trump, part of a larger criminal network?
There were others in helping, assisting Thomas.
And does one private investigator's claim of an electronic device still pinging at his old high school have any merit or implications? Plus, those close to Crooks say public narratives about him are all lies.
It still baffles me now.
My findings in Western Pennsylvania almost 8 months later, right now.
And we're going to go through some of those right now. False narratives about crooks, devices that are still pinging to this day in his school that were connected to him leading up to the shooting. And a private investigator of the belief now, after doing his due diligence, that there's a criminal network out there to take Donald Trump out. Now, here are some of the findings, the claims, and the details. Listen and watch this.
There's a lot of sympathy for him in his hometown of Bethel Park. Several people told us they don't think Crooks acted alone and that he might have been a patsy. Some also accuse Biden's FBI of suppressing some information, like why Crooks' body was cremated so quickly and what his overseas encrypted accounts revealed. Private investigator Doug Hagmans had a team of seven working on this mystery after being hired by a secret client shortly after the event. He says his team used a technique called geofencing. Hagman told me they located 8 or 9 devices, probably cell phones, that belonged to other people, but were pinpointed to being with Crooks at his home, at his old high school, at his gun club, and even at the rally. Hagman said he doesn't believe Crooks acted alone and that he was part of a criminal network that's still out there and still wants to kill President Trump.
Yeah, I'm going to say that there is sufficient evidence to support the conclusion that there were others in assisting Thomas Matthew Crooks based on the presence of electronic devices at his home as well as at the Butler Fairgrounds.
Then you think about the sloped roof. We were told it was too dangerous. We were also told that the roof was too hot for a midsummer day in July. Then we have a roof that's unmanned. We had communication failures. We had timing failures. And then the finger pointing between the federal agencies and the local authorities. Cremation, chain of custody of the body. None of this really adds up. Here's a montage from this investigation. In this, you'll hear a neighbor, a guidance counselor, a teacher, and a classmate, all of Thomas Matthew Crooks. And again, it just doesn't add up. How could a 20-year-old do this by himself? Listen and watch.
I mean, he seemed like a normal kid. He seemed nice enough. He'd wave and smile, you know, every day he'd be out walking around. So it's not like he was like a shut-in or anything like that, you know. Seemed like a very normal teenager.
When you heard the news,
sure did.
That Thomas Crooks had tried to kill the person who'd become the president of the United States.
Sure did. And it was like, are you kidding me? I said, this kid I would have never, ever thought would have attempted this or never would have, you know, done this.
Crooks' former computer technology teacher, Xavier Harmon, was one of many who told us Crooks was not only a very gifted student, but a nice kid. Harmon said he called Crooks, quote, his little buddy.
I didn't believe it. I know the individual I taught, and this individual, this pigeon there, consistent of, and somebody who was a total 180 of who he was in my classroom.
His Bethel Park High School friend said you can never really know anyone, but still said he was shocked at learning what his old economics classmate did.
This kid that I played football with, like, sent me a message. He was like, do you know Matthew Crooks? And I was like, no. And he was like, oh, wait, Thomas Matthew Crooks, you graduated with him, right? I was like, yeah, what about him?
This kid clearly snapped. He became radicalized, and he acted on it. But did he act alone? I'm not sure that many people believe that. I certainly do not. And what about this random outlier or evidence of a plot and a coordinated effort? Listen and watch this.
This is a gun club and a shooting range about half an hour from Thomas Crooks' house. And he went once in May, 2 months before the attempted assassination of President Trump. And the day after, oddly enough, there were officers, agents from the Department of Homeland Security that were here shooting as well.
Louisiana Congressman Clay Higgins told us, however, that he's pretty sure Crooks acted alone. He investigated the incident for months as part of a bipartisan congressional committee. But he admitted to me that he still hasn't found a motive. Higgins hopes the new FBI director, Kash Patel, will help him find out more about Crooks in the coming months.
So Crooks does some target practice before Memorial Day, and then randomly the feds are there the next day, partaking in presumably the same activities? What are the odds of that? And how on a bipartisan front do we not have more information for the most polarizing and maybe popular president of all time? No matter what he says, no matter what he posts on social media, we make a massive story out of everything. Yet this thing just disappeared, like the Vegas nightclub shooting in 2017. Oh, no motive. Keep it moving. And why does his parents only leave the house at 3 a.m. to get groceries in little old Butler, Pennsylvania, 8 months later? Ask yourself that question. And then, what does this imply? This is very interesting. The reporter for the New York Post tracked down Crook's only sibling, his sister, and was met with strong resistance from two unidentified men at the place of her residence. Listen and watch this final clip.
Crooks's older sister, Katie, lives in an apartment complex nearby, but good luck getting to her.
Behind me is the apartment building where Katie Crooks, Thomas Crooks' only sibling, lives. She's about 23 years old. She works as a janitor nearby. And when we went to see if we could talk to her, we were met by two men in her apartment building complex that came to the door and told us in no uncertain terms that we had to go. They were polite, but they said, and I quote, "This story is dead, and you need to know that."
Strange, right? Who were these men? No answers, no motives, no news coverage, no curiosity from the media. Congress uncovers very little other than the obvious, but a private investigator hired by an unknown citizen and a reporter from the New York Post have revealed all of the details that we just laid out here, and they continue to keep digging. But when will the non-swamp creatures of the Trump administration get the truth about this almost tragic story? Because for my money, this is far more important than other promises about JFK and MLK and 9/11 and even Epstein, because the silence is deafening. And I know you can all hear it. And that's usually a dead giveaway. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. From organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn makes sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Choose Natural Lawn and get free seeding every year. Call 800-FREE-SEED now. Dawn Stenslin, I want to get your thoughts on this. You're an award-winning journalist. I'm sure you've done investigative pieces like this. Does this add up to you, or is my claim from late July, early August starting to carry more weight?
You know, as far as the New York Post report, I think they've done an incredible job of putting all this together and making everybody remember it. But I will say that aside from interviewing all of these different individuals going back and all of that, there's, you know, the House Task Force investigating released that report. What was it, last
September?
It was December. Right? So I don't know that there's much new here, but I think it's interesting that they tried to, you know, talk to the parents, talk to the two survivors. I don't know. Did she talk to the family of Corey Comparator? I don't think that she did.
Not that I know of.
But, you know, because what I thought of immediately was, good, keep this alive. Because in truth, all of these investigations also help the family of the one person who was killed that day, who was assassinated, Corey, because his family may very well sue. And so this will lead to litigation and further investigations, you know, in that direction. But I'm just, you know, what I thought of as far as the parents go, why are they going in the night? Because you still have reporters and people gawking and looking at them. That doesn't surprise me.
In Butler, PA?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everybody's talking about them. Everybody's pointing at them.
So you think
that's
small
Trump country.
Well, that too. But you think, you know, kind of that small town feeling where mm-hmm. those stories don't die because there's not much else to talk about or yep. do in Butler, Pennsylvania.
So if they went dayside, I have, you know, nobody's really heard from them. They're going to get comments.
How about the sister, though? You know, two unidentified men come to the door and basically say, yeah, keep it moving. Nothing to see here.
It's probably security that they hired because...
You think?
Yes.
Or the cousins.
No. I'm kidding. I think it's security that is just, yeah. you know, they
you
want...
think private like, security, not like federal people, like maybe Ray Epps might have out in the middle of nowhere?
No, I think
You don't think she's in protective custody or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. I think she's probably scared. That's Trump country. Maybe they're worried mm-hmm. that somebody will blame them.
What's up with the device that's still pinging that was in Crook's possession with other people's devices? I mean, we have given up on trying to unencrypt encrypted devices. I don't know what that entails. I'm not a technology savant, but we've got all of this probably a treasure trove of communication that nobody seems to be interested in. And I also think about this. When we think about like 9/11, we think about the Florida Parkland school shooting. Isn't it interesting? Now, I think there's a lot of different layers to these stories and dynamics. I'm always curious as to whether or not the shooter or the suspect is apprehended alive versus killed in the line of crossfire versus taking their own life. But it's interesting what stories the media keeps alive versus mm-hmm. what they bury, right?
Yeah.
9/11, that was out forever. Parkland school shooting, Nick, whatever his name is, the kid down in Parkland, now David Hogue or Hogue, whatever you say his last name, is a big DNC guy, one of the survivors at that school. But like the Vegas shooting, you know, it was just, they just, well, we don't know really what caused this man to do it, so let's just move on. Same thing here with crooks. It just doesn't add up to me that a 20-year-old could one-up local authorities, federal authorities, Secret Service, all these unexplainable events. And I understand sometimes we have coincidences, and sometimes, you know, I mean, let's face it, people hit Powerball. You get that 1 in 10 million thing that pays off eventually. But when you add all of these answered questions together, it just, to me, it's to this day. I was thinking about, and I'm actually walking back my opinion from last week where I thought the Epstein stuff is the biggest thing I want to see unveiled because of the Hollywood possibilities, the power players in politics. But the more I think about this Trump thing and having watched that New York Post video, I want this answer. This is the current sitting president, and we get nothing on it.
I do wonder, as far as money, there were all those reports. Now, one was debunked. Remember, he supposedly had like a gambling account, and then it turned out that somebody just used his name and created that after the fact.
So you're talking about the Vegas guy?
Remember that?
The high roller.
Yeah, so that was debunked. But what about allegedly that he had money, foreign accounts, the crypto stuff? I think she looked at some of that, but I don't think we've gotten all the answers on it. The big one at the time that made me curious was, first of all, the fact that they tried to throw the local guys under the bus and they were heroes, that was just wrong.
Of course.
But the autopsy, that one still mystifies me. The fact that they had a local coroner who was supposed to get his body and went looking and then found out that he had already been cremated.
Yep.
That was bizarre.
Yep. 855-839-1210. If you would like to jump in, the Piazza Auto Group is in full swing. And we're talking today about the Honda Prologue. Recently, drove the Honda Prologue SUV. It's Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of almost 300 miles on a single charge and a fast charge time. You can cruise the roads worry-free with three charging options to choose from, including the portable charging kit for when you're on the go. Lease the Prologue today for as low as $229 per month. Hard to beat that. An all-electric SUV from the great people at Honda for $229 per month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne for details. And you can shop online. You can do it right now. PiazzaHonda.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Maybe he got a somewhat closer yesterday to weeding out the corruption in the FBI when it pertains to Pam Bondi's claims that the Southern District of New York and the FBI field office is basically interfering with her release of the Epstein files, because in the dinner time hours last night, the head of New York's FBI field office, James Dennehy, was forced to resign in a Trump administration shakeup. The New York Times with the story as the top FBI agent in New York was ousted yesterday, saying he wasn't given any explanation for the decision from Washington. Dennehy, a U.S. Marine Corps veteran who joined the Bureau after the September 11th terror attacks in 2001, announced his forced resignation in a letter to staffers at the FBI's New York field office. He said, quote, "Late Friday, I was informed that I needed to put my retirement papers in today, which I just did. I was not given a reason for this decision," he wrote in the paper. Dennehy apologized for the abruptness of his resignation in the letter, in which he called his colleagues, quote, "an office of professionals who will always do the right thing for the right reasons." Not sure I buy that at all. So I got to give Kash Patel a little bit of credit. I'm assuming Kash Patel forced this guy's hand. He probably sniffed him out as one of the top people possibly providing resistance to Pam Bondi, Trump's attorney general. But you only get half credit. Now you've maybe found the rat, you've eradicated the rat or the resistance or whatever you want to call it. Now you have to get to the bottom of where the rest of these Epstein files are. Because according to the reports that we read late last week when we talked about this Friday morning, there are apparently still thousands of documents out there. And from what I gather from Pam Bondi, who's been kind of doing the media circuit really for the last 72 to 96 hours, is when she got the files on her desk, she kind of looked at it and she was like, is it? This Epstein file?
Well,
the
story changed a little bit. She said one thing to Jesse Waters and then kind of walked it back a little bit, said another thing.
Right, on Sunday.
Yeah, and then so she said yesterday, and we'll play this, she said last night that a quote, truckload of Jeffrey Epstein files arrived on Friday.
A truckload.
So
well, that's
we'll
a total stark contrast from a little binder on your desk.
And by the way, I don't think this, I don't think the resignation yesterday had anything to do with Epstein. I think it had to do with the J6.
What makes you arrive at that conclusion?
Just a hunch.
Oh, I thought there was reporting out there.
There is. But I believe that it has nothing to do with Epstein whatsoever.
Okay. Dawn, your thoughts?
I'm interested to find out about the so-called truckload of evidence that now has, you know, I'm interested in that. I'm interested in the second drop or the third drop. I don't think she's going to drop it because she looks bad in all of this. And so I think that she will be like a dog on a bone with getting something out there because she promised it.
Well, somebody's not telling us the truth because earlier it was, this is kind of a thin representation where I thought this would be voluminous. And it's not. And then she's saying, now, who did she say the truckload comment with? Was that with Waters?
I don't recall it. I think it was Laura Ingraham last night. We'll play it.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's Hannity.
Sean.
Was it Hannity?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought she was on one of the Sunday shows where she said that she felt like it was under-delivered. So what blows me away here is that you can be so misinformed, potentially. And again, maybe she is being hosed and jerked around. I have no idea. But I wouldn't rule anything out with this FBI, considering what we've found out over the last 9 years with the FBI, with this current president. But you can't just be out there, you know, selling a bill of goods and then be so categorically misinformed or really deceiving the American public, because we want these answers. So don't just dangle the steak and tell me you're going to give me this massive ribeye. And then you give me some, like, well-done rump roast, right?
By the way, the top FBI official that was forced out after questioning the Trump pursuit of agents who investigated J6. That's according to NBC News.
NBC News.
James Dennehy, the head of the FBI's New York office, is out 1 month after he urged colleagues to, quote, dig in after the new administration requested the names of all agents who worked on Capitol.
I saw that quote. What do they mean by dig in?
Meaning don't give up names.
Okay. As in provide as much pushback to those that are seeking answers.
Yes.
So then I'll give Bondi credit then. If the FBI is really doing everything they can to impede and obstruct Pam Bondi's authority, I mean, she's the attorney general. She has the right and she presumably has access to this type of stuff. Then this is not on Bondi then, right? I mean, if there's an email with an FBI guy that says dig in, I mean, most people would interpret that like I think you just explained.
Well, I think this, as far as James Dennehy, he's New York's top FBI guy.
Yeah.
So he's the one who claims that he was forced to retire. So he's pushing there were reports, oh, he's fired, he's out of there. He claims he was forced to retire.
Yeah.
So he, as far as what Dennehy said, he said that he was forced to retire but was never given a reason. That's the official
word. Yeah.
You know?
Yes. But I'm wondering, you know, how much of this, because, you know, there's the January 6th claims and then there's what we just saw that unfolded before our very eyes. It seems very peculiar that you would resign after that disaster.
I think people are looking at this, well, if he dug in over this, what else has he dug in over?
Yes.
So he was the guy, remember, who put out the letter? He actually put it in writing and put out a letter when they were talking about investigating persecution, you know, persecution versus prosecution.
Right.
And so he was telling people, you know, resist. Basically, he was leading the resistance against transparency, against this administration trying to find out the information.
What a rotten agency. It's unbelievable. 855-839-1210. News coming up with Dawn to kick off hour number two. We still have to get to the vote yesterday with the Senate, with Trump and the transgender Title IX sports bill, which all Democrats shot down. Very notable Democrats as well. We'll let you know the names and how that fell on party lines yesterday, 51-45. And then before we get to that, the latest updates with Ukraine, Trump, and Zelensky, including the pausing or the suspending of funding. Hour number two, coming up next. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.